right into the message. I've been talking about this series now for 5 weeks, Unchurching Jesus, His Simple Plan That We Screwed Up. And when I say that, for those of you who are our guests, this is something that I just began 5 weeks ago after God kind of showed me that there's a certain direction. There was a verse that stood out to me many months ago where Jesus said that he was talking to Peter and he was talking to the other disciples, and he said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." And I got to thinking about, in that moment when I read that and it jumped out at me, and I thought, you know, I wonder if the church that I have, the church that I pastor, is it the church that Jesus said he was going to build? Is it doing what he had in mind? And so I began to look at the plan that Jesus had in mind, and I've been talking about this for 5 weeks. I won't continue it, but I'm actually going to wrap it up tonight. Well, actually, that's not true. Tonight, for Experience Hope, this will be the last part of this message. I'm actually going to have to carry this over to tomorrow morning, and I will be I'll be finishing it tomorrow morning with the full version. But I want to wrap this up tonight. We're going to go to the book of Galatians, chapter number 5. The scripture will be up on the screen, and so I'll get to this in just a minute. But let me just preface this by saying, the Apostle Paul is going to sum up for us in this passage I'm going to read today everything that I've been talking about. We've been talking about this old religious system that Jesus came and replaced. Jesus came on the scene and he said, there's an old religious system that you have been laboring under, and it consisted basically of a whole bunch of laws, a whole bunch of rules. And it was that part of it, when I began to think about that, that really kind of got my mind thinking. It's like, boy, you know what? I grew up in a church with a whole bunch of rules. In fact, I've been a part of a church with a whole bunch of rules, and I was beginning to wonder, you know, I wonder how much of that old religious system that Jesus said he wanted to do away with has come back in, because Jesus came to us, and he really replaced all those rules with just a couple, and I'll give that to you here in just a minute. But let me say this about the Apostle Paul, and then I'm going to read the scripture. The Apostle Paul is the authority on the New Testament church. Now, Jesus said he was going to build the church, but he entrusted to the Apostle Paul all of the letters that would go out to the churches. The books of Romans all the way through the book of Philemon are all letters to the churches, and that is where we take our doctrine from. And the Apostle Paul was called the apostle to the Gentiles, and he was a special chosen vessel, and so he is the authority on the church. Jesus started it, and then Paul began. Now, I'd take you then to the book of Galatians in chapter number 5, and we're just going to kind of read through this very quickly, and I'll draw out these points tonight. So here we go. Verse number 1, notice the Bible says this: "Stand fast, therefore," the Apostle Paul writing now to the church at Galatia, he says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty," that means freedom, "wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not again entangled with the yoke of bondage." I want you to notice he said, "You have freedom." Can I just begin tonight by saying, if the brand of Christianity that you're accustomed to doesn't make you feel free, you're doing it wrong. When Christianity doesn't feel freeing to us, there's something wrong with what we're doing. He said, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." You see, that old religious system was not free. In fact, notice at the very end of this, he says, "Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Now, oftentimes we look at a verse like this, and I know I have done this myself, and taken this verse completely out of context. And we think, well, when he says, "Don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage," he's talking about, you know, maybe some sin from your past, maybe addiction. Now, is addiction a sin? Sure, it is. If there's some things in our past that might be bondage? Sure, they are. All sin is bondage. But that's really not what he's talking about. He's not talking about the sins of our past. He's actually saying, you have been made free from Christ. You have been made free from that old religion model. He said, now don't go back to that. Hey, don't go back to thinking that you have to keep all these rules to make yourself right with God. You can't make yourself right with God. Right. Nothing you do can make yourself right with God. Jesus came and said, "I'll make you right with God." Now you focus on just a couple of things. And of course, we've been talking about the fact what Jesus said to focus on was love God and love your neighbor. It's kind of funny. Actually, I was going to title this tonight, you know, "Who is My Neighbor?" That's actually the title for tomorrow, is "Who's My Neighbor?" And I was actually going to play that video help me, Mr. Rogers. That opening song. And then I got here and I was going to download it, and then I realized I was wearing this. So I thought, Yeah, no, I'm not going to do that tonight. There's just too much that your mind will take you there, and you won't listen to anything I say tonight, and unless I bring a little trolley out. But what was I talking about? Some things don't change, Carrie. So he said, look, he said, but the bondage that I'm talking to you about is not, it's not your old sinful life, although he doesn't want us to go back to a sinful life. It's not the things that from our past that we're ashamed of. He's not even talking about that. He said, I don't want you to go back to that old religious system that Jesus came and died on the cross to replace. He said, I gave you something new, and that's what I want you to focus on. So now, what was it that Jesus came along and changed it to? Well, take a look at verse number 14 of this. We're going to be in this whole passage, this passage all night long. He said, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. He means one expression here. Even this, love your neighbor as yourself. We've been talking about this. Jesus said, you know, all those laws were for a reason. I gave the, you know, God gave the Jews all those laws about what they could eat and what they had to wear and what they couldn't wear. And, you know, men could only wear this and women could only wear this. And men had to do this with their hair and women had to do this with their hair. And you could go here and you couldn't go there. You could hang out with these people, but you couldn't hang out with those people and you couldn't do this. And all these things, all these thou shalts. And he said, I'll tell you what, let me make it real easy for you. Because really all of those come down to that right there. And again, Jesus said it first. The Apostle Paul is repeating it here. He said, just get this one thing right. Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Love the people next to you. By the way, though, tomorrow if you come back, I'm going to define who our neighbor is, and it's not what we think. But he said, look, I just want you to love the people of this world. I just want you to love the people next to you. I want you to love your family. I want you to love your physical neighbors, the people who live next to you. I want you to love the people on your bus. And she does, because two of her riders of her bus came with her tonight. She made friends with them. Look, that's what he was saying right there. That is exactly what he said. He said, I just want you to love. So this is what Jesus replaced it with. Now, for a while, the church at Galatians did great, just like the other churches did great. But as we know, something happened. Take a look at verse number 7. And here, this is kind of the King James wording, and it may seem a little bit foreign to some, but let me just read through this and explain what this means. He said, you really did run well. He said, you were doing great when we first started. When I left you, you got this thing of love your neighbor. You got this thing of how you're supposed to live and how we're supposed to treat each other, and you were doing great. He said, but who hindered you that you left that? Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? He said, you left what you were supposed to be doing. Verse 8. He said, I want you to know this persuasion, whoever persuaded you to make these changes, whoever persuaded you to go back and take some of those old religious laws and rules and all that stuff and bring it forward and put it into your church, the church that Jesus started, the simple plan Jesus had, whoever told you to do that, it wasn't Jesus. Listen, if Christianity has become a bunch of rules and a bunch of laws and a bunch of things in order to be able to be a part, in order for people to be able to come to Jesus, that didn't come from him, folks. He's not the one who said, bring that stuff back in. He said, Paul said, this persuasion cometh not of him that called you. Look at verse number 9. And then he said this, and we use this verse. We take preachers are bad about taking this verse out of context all the time. I've done it myself. He said, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Now, let me explain what this means, what he's talking about here. We take that as saying, well, boy, you know what? If you just let a little sin into your life, there's going to be a whole bunch of sin. If you get to, you know, you've heard about these, you know, gateway drugs. You know, we do the same thing. We tell all of our young people, well, that, you know, that rock music, that's just gateway music. You shouldn't listen to that rock music because, I mean, after all, that's just going to make you want to do this and make you want to do that. And that's how we use a verse like that. And we say, you know, a little bit of leaven, that means yeast, ruins the whole thing. But he wasn't even talking about sin here, folks. What was he talking about? This whole passage is, read the whole chapter. Paul said, I'm not talking about, hi Brian, I'm not talking about sin here. He said, when I say a little leaven, he said, I'm talking about that old religious system. When you try to bring some of that old religious system back and you put it into this simple plan that Jesus had, he said, you ruined the whole thing. Now look, do I have to bring up some of the images I did a few weeks ago when I talked about the old and the new don't go together? For our guests, it was bad. It was an old lady in a thong. Sorry, kids. Yeah, I know. Things have changed, Carrie. Kurt, you picked a good night to come. We're glad it wasn't 3 weeks ago. Look, the point was, he said, you know, he said, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. He said, don't bring any of that stuff in. He said, you keep it simple like I gave you. And I just told you to love each other. I just told you to treat each other right. And not just each other. I'll get to that tomorrow. Now, what was the, let's back up now. See, they were just bringing in a few laws. They just wanted to bring in a couple things. It's like, I don't know, I mean, this seems awfully easy, you know, this love God, love your neighbor. It's pretty simple. We really need our kids to have to memorize more verses than that. Parents want their kids to memorize a lot of Bible, don't they? You remember that, Josh? Remember how many verses he made you memorize? Okay, you remember how many verses you were supposed to memorize? Didn't get any of them. Oh, something about Jesus crying. I don't know. Jesus cried or something like that. So let's go back to verse 2. Notice, and behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised. He's just talking about one of these laws they brought back. He said, if you follow these laws, Christ shall profit you how much? Nothing. What he said was, he said, look, if you're going to try to live by all those laws, if you're going to try to bring some of these laws forward, then watch this. He said, no, go ahead and go to verse 3. He said, for I'm going to tell you again, I testify to every man, that is, you are a debtor to the whole law. He said, you can't just have one. You have to have them all. You can't go back and pick out one law and bring it into the new program. You have to bring them all in if you're going to do that. If you're going to stand and proclaim that one of these laws, again, remember what some of those laws were about? I mean, there was laws about what you could eat. You couldn't eat pork. May I say again how fortunate we are, how blessed we are to be able to have bacon. Because it was tough being an Old Testament Jew. It's tough being some of these other old-type religions that are all, the world is filled with old-type religions with all these rules and all these laws. Now, again, and I'll get to something here in a minute. It's not like we can just do anything we want to. But he said, look, you are, if you go back and get one of those, you have to get them all. He said, I would suggest you don't get any of them. Because there's one that Jesus gave us, and that is love your neighbor. See, what that means is, that means nobody gets to pick and choose. Listen, folks. No Christian gets to pick and choose which of those old laws they want to bring forward into their new Christianity. Moms and dads, you don't get to pick and choose which of the Old Testament laws you want to bring forward. You know, husbands, you can't go back to the Old Testament and say, now listen, wife. I know none of you husbands would ever call your wife's wife. The Bible says you're supposed to be this, you're supposed to be that, you know, you're supposed to do that, whatever I say, and what, you know. Because she could also say, yeah, well, the Bible also says some things about you. You know, and I'm looking around this house, and the Bible says you're supposed to order this house. There's a lot of Old Testament laws that parents don't get to pick and choose. What law? You can't tell your children, well, you're going to obey these Old Testament laws, but not the. You can't tell your children to honor your father and your mother without you also honoring God. Oh, I shouldn't have said that with kids in the room. My bad. No, listen, but his point was you can't, no Christian gets to do that. You know, no pastor gets to do that. No pastor gets to go back to the Old Testament and say, you know what, I'm gonna go pick out some of these Old Testament laws. Let's see. All right, so I'm going to go back and I'm going to pick out, you know, these things about, well, let's do the easy one. I'm going to go back and I'm going to grab hold of tithing. Bible says, I need a tie on. I need to get this stance down right. Bible says you ought to give 10% of everything you got to the Lord. Now, please understand, I give 10% of my income to the Lord. I do tithe. But it's not because I believe, that's not because we're dragging an Old Testament law. It's because that's the example that Jesus gave in the Old Testament. But a lot of pastors like to go back and grab a hold of that one and bring that one forward. But guess what? They're not going to go back there and get a hold of, you can't eat lobster and shellfish, and you can't do, you know, and the priests and all that. We want to make ourselves equal with priests and with and all that. I am not a priest, folks. I'm a pastor of a church. I'm not the Lord's anointed. You can't, you know, but I've heard pastors say, well, you know, you got to treat the priest, you know, the people bring in their stuff and the priest ought to get a certain portion of that. No, that is Old Testament, and it'd be really easy for me as a pastor to go back and get some of those. Denominations don't get to do that either. You know, denominations, it's not okay with Jesus for a denomination to go back and take some Old Testament laws. Now, look, I preached this on a Sunday morning, by the way. I did. Please understand, I'm not criticizing any denomination. Well, I guess I am a little bit. I don't mean to put myself above that. But here's what a denomination is. Whether it's Baptist or Catholic or Methodist. The Methodists are different. They're great. But those Presbyterians, you know what I'm saying, right? You know what I'm saying. Look, it's just a way for people to pick and choose what commandments they want to add to the two that Jesus gave us. That's what a denomination is. And I know because I was a Baptist most of my life, and I just in the last few years became a Christian. You know what I mean by that. A Jesus follower. Because I realized, wait a minute. This big long list of rules that I grew up with, this big long list of rules that I enforced, this big long list of rules that I had for people like you when you were in my school, those are all things that I added to the two that Jesus gave. I added those. He didn't add those. He didn't add them to the church at Galatia either. And Paul was saying, you have messed up. That you have thought you could bring forward a couple of those laws and put them into this new plan that Jesus gave and thought he would be okay with it. He's not okay with it because he gave you two. So he said, you know, nobody has that. He said, but someone's persuaded you. Look at verse 10. Someone has been very persuasive, but there's a warning here from the Apostle Paul. He said, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. He said, you won't fall for that. But he that troubles you will bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Paul was a little bit ticked here because somebody came in to the church and convinced them to bring out some of those old religion laws back into this new thing that Jesus gave. Now, I've got to hurry. So what happens when we do that? What happens when we bring the old religion back in? Look at verse number 4. He said, when you do this, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by... He said, look, if you're going to do that, now watch church. He said, if you're going to go back and you're going to grab some of these Old Testament laws and rules and all this stuff, and you're going to bring that forward into the simple plan that Jesus gave us, he said, Christ has become of no effect unto you. He said, what he did on the cross isn't going to help you. In fact, look at the phrase here. He said, ye are fallen from grace. Now, that is an expression right there that gets misused all the time. Again, it talks... People think that means losing salvation. That is not at all what he said there. He said, when you bring out these Old Testament laws into your life and into the simple plan that Jesus gave us for what the church is supposed to be, he said, when you do that, you are taking everything that Jesus did to bring grace into this world, to bring grace into this time in which we live, and he said, you're making it to where all it does is save you and that's it. All it does is give you a home in heaven, but it doesn't help you at all in your life right now because you are not allowing grace to be the guiding force in your life. In the church age, grace should be the guiding force in everything that is done in the church. That means when somebody comes in and messes up in life, they should receive grace. I'm going to say that again. That means when somebody messes up in their life and they come into the church and they say, man, I have messed up. I have done this or I have done that. What they should get is not a bunch of rules about all the rules they've broken. They've already figured that part out, folks. That's why they came. They've already figured out what they did wrong. They're looking for grace. They're looking for somebody to say, you know what? I've been there. We're all sinners. We're all sinners saved by grace. Let that grace of Jesus Christ be effectual. That's what he's talking about there. He said, it's not about losing your salvation. It's about not letting grace be the guide of your life. Here's what happens. Watch. I'll make this real practical. Here's what happens when we don't do what Paul is saying here. When we bring those laws, we have a tendency to pick and choose the ones we're good at. Did you ever notice that most parents are never, really aren't that guilty of, you know, do as I say, not as I do. Most parents are pretty good about it. We just simply pick the things we're good at to enforce in our kids. And pastors do the same thing. You rarely hear a fat pastor talking about obesity or gluttony. You just don't. You're not going to hear it around here much. We have the gospel of Krispy Kreme around here. You know, you don't find, you know, people, we tend to pick and choose the things we're good at, and those are the laws we bring forward. And those are the ones we pick out and we bring forward. We make those a part of what we do. So watch what happens. When a Christian, whether an individual, whether it's a church, whether it's a pastor, whether it's a parent, whether it's a husband, a wife, whatever it is, when we decide we're going to do the opposite of what the Apostle Paul said. The Apostle Paul said, get back to those simple things I gave you. Stop bringing all these Old Testament laws in. He said, because when you do that, you're going to become one of two things. You're either going to become very judgmental of other people, or you're going to live a life of guilt. You see, the proud become very judgmental of others. Well, the Old Testament, the Bible says this. Yes, it does say that. But Paul said, you're not allowing grace to be what it's supposed to be in your life. Well, the Bible says that. That's what the proud do. The proud become very judgmental of others. And I can say that because I used to be one of the best at that. One of the best. Thank you for not saying amen there. But sadly, an awful lot of people then take the other effect. They look at it, they listen to people like that, and they listen to, and they go back and they see all those laws they've broken in the end. Well, man, I did this with my body, and I did this with my mind, and I looked at this kind of stuff, and I did these kind of things to feed my kids, and they go back and they relive all that, and they live a life of guilt. You see, the same wrong thinking about the old religious system makes some people judgmental. It makes other people live a life of guilt. And Jesus didn't want any of those. You know what Jesus said? He said, I gave you a simple plan. It was real simple. Just love one another. Let that be your guiding thing. Let that be what guides you. Paul said, not only can you not be saved by keeping all those laws. He said nobody could do that. Nobody was able to do that. Nobody was able to keep all those laws. So that's why I changed it. But he also said this, and I'll begin to wrap this up. He also said, not only can you not become saved by keeping the law, or keep yourself saved by keeping the law, he said, but you also do not grow your faith that way. Now, this is contrary to what many of us think. Many of us think, well, man, my faith will grow when I keep all these old laws and I keep myself pure from this and I don't go there and I don't do this and I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't do all these things. And I got all these great things in my life. I got all this stuff. I don't watch the wrong movies and I don't do this and I don't do that. And all these things that these people tell me that being a great Christian is, I got all that straight in my life. And my faith will grow. And he said, actually, that is not the case at all. Look at verse number 6. He said, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything. Again, that's just part of those Old Testament laws. He just used it as a symbol. Nor uncircumcision. He said, none of those things matter. He said, but faith which worketh by love. Do you see that? He said, keeping the law doesn't build your faith. You can keep all the laws. Look, you can memorize all 600 and whatever there are of them. We memorize the 10. We put them on stone monuments. And that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But he said, you could keep every single one of them. It's not going to build your faith one little bit. What will build your faith is right there, faith which worketh by love. If you've got a different version of the Bible, it probably says something to the effect of, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Paul said, the only thing that counts is faith. He said, you don't build your faith by how much you know, just like, holy, remember I preached 2 weeks ago, dirty is the new holiness. Get your hands dirty. Get involved in people's life. He said, that's what's holy these days. Buildings aren't holy anymore. This is a building. This is carpet and wood. It's not sacred. Yes, the temple in the Old Testament was sacred. Yes, the Hindu buildings are sacred to them. And yes, but Jesus said, my church is people, not buildings. You want to know what's sacred? You are. You are. You want to know what's sacred? That little boy sitting right there is sacred. That's a sacred space right there inside that green sweatshirt right there. He said, that's what's sacred. So, he said, look, none of those things matter. You don't build your faith that way. Spiritual is not defined anymore by what you do. By what you know, but by what you do. You can memorize all the scripture in the world. But if you don't do any of it, you're not spiritual. You can memorize all that stuff. It's not going to make any difference. Now, does that mean, I got to wrap this up. Does that mean that we can do anything we want to, engage in sin freely with whatever we want to? No, that's not at all what it says. As long as we love others, that is not at all what he said. Look at verse number 13. He said, for brothers, you have been called unto liberty. You've been given freedom. But don't use your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. See, that there's two contrasts here. Occasion to the flesh, that's what I want. Serve one another, that's what you want. He said, you want to know what builds your faith right there? He said, you know what you're supposed to do according to the new plan Jesus said? He said, you don't please yourself, you serve somebody else. You take care of somebody else. He said, that right there is what it's all about. See, it's not about laws. It's about one law. See, again, look at this. An occasion to the flesh. Why should a Christian not lose his temper with people and cuss at them? Well, because the Bible says, no, that's the law. Well, because God said, no, that's the law. It's because you hurt somebody when you do that. And you can't love your neighbor while you're hurting your neighbor. Right? You can't kiss somebody on the cheek and then smack that same cheek. Right? You can't love somebody. Hey, look, I don't even want to know what you two are talking about. Are you kidding me? I can't say anything without you turning that way. Young people. Man, those were the days. No, I'm just kidding. I've lost control entirely. Now look. He said, you want to know why you're supposed to be, let me wrap this up. He said, do you want to know why you're supposed to be holy? Do you want to know why your life is supposed to be clean? Do you want to know why your life is supposed to be an example of righteous living and doing the right things? It's not because it's commanded of you. It's because you are supposed to be an example for people looking for something different. I'm supposed to be something that looks different from what they can find in the world. If I do all the same things that somebody out in the world, that the unsaved world does, then somebody who's looking for hope is not going to see anything different in me. Why would they come to church? Why would they come to Jesus? Hey, if you're sad and grumpy all the time, that is a sin. That's a sin, folks. It is a sin to be grumpy. I'm just going to say it until you say amen. It's a sin to be grumpy. Because you're telling the world that there's no joy in your life, but yet you say, but I'm a Christian. You know, someday Jesus will help me. Someday it'll make it all right. Someday I won't hurt like this. And someday I'm driving junk for Jesus. I give all my money to the church, and so I ain't got no money to buy a car. Look, he said, you can try to talk yourself into how righteous you are. And you can say, Jesus, look at me. I get up in the morning at 5 o'clock and I pray and I fast and I do all these things. I get up every morning at 5 o'clock and fast too, till about 6. Well, unless coffee is breaking the fast, in which case I fast from 10 o'clock at night until morning. No, look, those are good things. Please don't think I'm being flippant about godly things like fasting. I'm not. But what I am trying to say is, Jesus had a very simple plan. And when we start bringing things in from the old religious system and adding them to the new, the Apostle Paul said, you are taking grace out of the picture. You're taking what Jesus died for out of the picture. He said, you're not supposed to bring that into this new, simple plan. Now, I have ended the last few messages with this. So what if every Christian did that? What if every Christian was just simply known for being nice? What if every young girl who's walking into an abortion clinic didn't have to be afraid of what the Christians would say? What if she didn't have to be afraid of what Christians were? What if they could come into church and find hope and love because The church was known for being the one place in the world where you can go and get treated well. And if every Christian did that, then everybody would want to come to church. And everybody would want to work for a Christian. And everybody would want to hang out with Christians. That's what Jesus had in mind. Now tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, this was just the introduction. I'm going to talk about our church, this church, New Hope, and the direction we're going for the future. Because God has given us Jesus gave us a commission. And that commission was to change all the bad habits of the world. And it wasn't to put up billboards and tell everybody all the sins that they're doing wrong. That'll all come. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is well capable of taking care of all that in our lives. But he said, what I do want you to do is make sure that they know that I love them. The only way they're going to know that I love them is if you do. Because if you don't, they're never going to see me. Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ.